of a sudden, it's like God pulls back a veil and shows you deep down inside the meaning of those scriptures. And I like to call them little nuggets from the Lord. But what I'm coming to learn is that I can't live off nuggets. Those little things that God gives us, they're wonderful and they're exciting, and I enjoy that when He gives it to us. But the things that we got to live off of is His principles. Things that you and I have heard over and over again. And so I find myself coming back and sometimes feel like I'm saying things that you already know, but trying to reassure us and reaffirm that what God has said in His Word is still the only thing that works, no matter how simple it may seem to be. So tonight, if God would help me, I just want to preach a concept tonight that you probably already know very well, but I'd like for the Lord to just come down in this place and us begin to work in what He has commanded us to do, and watch Him do what He says that He does in return when we're doing all that we know to do. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, if you're there, just say amen. The Bible says in chapter 9, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians, "But this I say," Paul says, "he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." I'm glad that's not the only option he gives. But he goes on to say, "and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity." Anybody ever went to church and just did it because you know you should? Anybody ever knelt and prayed because, well, it was a necessity? Anybody ever just dusted off your Bible and opened it up because you were ashamed of how long it had been and nobody was even over your shoulder, but you knew it was just a necessity? Not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. I love that. And multiply your seed sown. And multiply your seed sown. I got to say, and multiply your seed sown. Every time you put something down in there and you pray and you sow that seed, there's always more that comes back up than what you put down. And multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Verse 6 is such a simple but yet profound verse. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, if I know that the more that I sow, the more I get back, and if I have the ability and the seed to sow it, and I'm not sowing more, it just simply means this, that I don't seemingly have a desire for more. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we've got just enough. Anybody ever went and got just enough church? Anybody ever just about two-thirds through the message had already got your just enough and checked out mentally and couldn't tell you what the pastor said for the last few minutes of his sermon? Because he that soweth sparingly, well, if all I need is just for me, just a little sparingly, then that's all you'll ever receive. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. I want to talk to us about something that I believe has divine spiritual consequences I believe that everything we do in life, every action brings about reaction. Now, God doesn't react because he only acts, and he's not worried about what's going to happen because he already knows what's going to take place. But you and I, we do things and we expect things to happen in return. And if there's anything that is something we should be doing in the church, we ought to be sowing intentionally, on purpose. But this is to me the part that I feel that is profound. How many times have we almost felt a little selfish because, well, God, I'm here, but I'm not just here. I need you to give me something in return. And so I'm not just raising my hands, going through the motions. I really hope you see what I'm doing because I really need something out of this. Man, I hope somebody hears me tonight, because there's a lot of revivals. We just go through the motions and do what is necessary. But then there's other times we cry out because there's something on the inside that requires a response, an interaction with God. So ultimately tonight, if the Lord would help me preach, I want to preach on this, just this thought. I want something back. I'm not just going through the motions. This is not just church, not just business as usual. I'm not just here trying to get the same thing I've always got, always received. I'm not happy with status quo. Man, I hope somebody else is with me tonight. I'm not looking for ordinary or average response. I want something back. Would you raise your hands this way tonight? Let's ask God to move. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing that has been here. I thank you, God, for the continual breaking of yokes. I ask tonight that you would anoint my heart, my mind, my soul. God, would you preach through me tonight? I know that this vessel is nothing in and of itself, but God, when you fill me, God, when your word gets on the inside, when your anointing begins to break yokes and begins to flow in this soul, God, things begin to happen. I pray that you would open this mouth, coordinate with the thoughts of my mind, and let my mouthpiece be the mouthpiece of God. Lord, speak through me to the needs of this church. Let us break out in revival. I pray in an individual way. We ask it and believe it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Reach over and shake somebody's hand. Let them know I didn't come for you. I came tonight for me. Somebody just looked at you and thought, you've been coming every night for you. I tell you what I like most about these scriptures, especially verse 6. I like the fact that it is not codependent upon anybody else. It doesn't say they that so sparingly or they that so bountifully. It just says he. Just singular. It's just you individually. How many's glad that not everybody all the time just gets to fix your plate? I don't mind going to a restaurant and them fixing your plate and you ordering what you want. But if somebody, I'm going to just put it this way, my wife stepped out, so I need to get this in fast. If she was always fixing my plate, there'd be some days I would feel like I was still hungry. Because she would fix my plate according to what she thinks is a portion that is suitable. And other times she might overestimate it, and I might be too full, too fast. What are you saying? I've just come to let us know that this is a very individual type of relationship. This is something you can receive from God all on your own. Let me start at the very beginning of this, because this is what I feel really needs to be maybe sowed into our hearts and minds tonight. When you and I speak of seed time and harvest, it speaks of the fact that if you sow certain things in your life, then therefore you have the right to receive certain things. I like that. So let me say it one more time. The things that there are times that when you sow certain things into your life, if you sow them, you have the right to receive certain things. This is what Paul said in another place in Galatians chapter 6. He said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit
shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap. Hallelujah. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Matter of fact, if you understand the kingdom principles that are found in Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Can I tell you that if you and I comprehend this right, there are some things in our life that we can cause to happen according to the seeds that we sow. I got to say that again. There are some things that you can cause to happen in your life according to the seeds that you are sowing. Matter of fact, I can sum it up this way and declare some of us, there are times that we don't like what we're reaping. Well, brother and sister, if you don't like it, it is as easy as changing what you're sowing. If you don't like what you're reaping, then you've got to change what you're sowing. Let me just make it simple. If you're an individual that has seemingly a hard time getting friends, you can't make friends. Can I tell you that what you need to do is check yourself, check the seed that you're sowing, because most of the time, individuals that have a hard time making friends are individuals that have a hard time being friendly. And that's the Bible lets us know. If you sow friendliness, you're going to reap friends. According to the scripture, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, can I declare in this place that amongst all of us that are here, everybody has a clique. We have a social circle. We have a group that we like to hang around. And if we're not careful, there are times that it is easy to exclude individuals that may not be on the inside of your circle. People that maybe aren't as close to you as they would like to be. And can I tell you, there are times that it is easy to maybe feel a little lesser about some people and not be as welcoming to them as you would your friends. But can I declare tonight that if you're somebody that has no problem keeping somebody on the outside of your group, don't be surprised if you wander somewhere else and find that somebody else has got a group and you are on the outside looking in, wishing that somebody had opened up their arms and welcomed you. What are you saying? I've come to tell you that if you have sowed friendliness, then you will reap friends. But don't be surprised if you have sown rejection in your life, if that is not what comes back to you. I have met so many different hard, cold, and bitter people that all they could talk about was how hard and cold and bitter somebody else was. Not even realizing that they were just reaping the very things that they had sown. Man, I've been to churches where it took two or three nights for individuals to ever smile and shake my wife's hand. This church has been wonderful. I'm not talking about you. Don't start looking around wondering who it is that's been rooted this church. But there are churches I've been to that, I mean, if they didn't know you, they wouldn't give you the time of day. They wasn't going to be nice or cordial. Isn't it amazing? We all go to a large place like, I'm going to just go ahead and say it, something like the Pentecostal Youth Fire Conference. If they don't know you, boy, they give you the once over, and they're looking for somebody to give you some credentials to, well, yeah, they're holiness enough, or they're Pentecostal enough. You can talk to them or be friends with them. What are you saying? I'm saying you better watch that, because you're going to reap what you sow. You are going to reap what you sow. What are you saying? I'm saying there are so many individuals that are wondering why nobody takes any time with me. But my response to many of those individuals is this: have you taken time with anybody else? Well, nobody wants to hear my story. Have you taken time to hear the story of someone else? If you want grace, you've got to give grace. If you sow cucumbers, don't expect to receive watermelon. You got to understand you are going to reap what you sow. And it's not just a matter of putting something in the ground. You got to understand that when it comes back up, it comes back up in double doses, in large measure. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again bountifully. Little seeds come back up in a powerful and a multiplied way. If you've been doing good, that's good news. But if you ain't been living right, watch out, brother. Watch out, sister, because you're going to receive in multiplied measures what you've been sowing. You're going to reap it. It's what the Bible declares to us. I'm not preaching the law of gravity, not to be included with that. I'm preaching the law of God. I know we could talk about what goes up must come down, but I've come to tell you what goes down is coming back up. You're going to reap what you sow. Whatever you put into the ground, not just the ground, you know what I'm speaking tonight of us individually, whatever you put in to your life is coming back in large portions. Let me just say this. Live intentionally, because there are consequences to every action. How many understands that, parents, you're going to reap what you put in your children? Some people act so surprised when little Johnny acts the way he does. And they look around and everybody else is just going, because Johnny's acting just like mom or dad. Whatever you put in them, it's going to come back. You may hit some rough spots, but the Bible lets us know that it's going to show back up, and it's going to look at you, and it's going to declare to you, here I am. Be that good, be that bad. Can I tell you that there's a lot of individuals, we look around now, and I know that once they reach a certain age, it doesn't matter how good you've done or what you've shown on the inside. They make their own decisions. But can I submit to somebody tonight, as I look in deep inside the Word, I've come to understand that what's wonderful about this scripture, what's wonderful about knowing this, is that if you have been somebody that has been sowing and you are now reaping some seeds that you wish you had not sown, and you're dealing with some problems that you wish you weren't dealing with now, I've come to let somebody in this church house tonight know that your life may be messed up. You may be standing in the midst of a harvest that you wish that you had never planted, and here you are dealing with this, but I've come to declare to you that if you're here and you're breathing and hearing this message, brother and sister, it's not too late to change your mind. It is not too late for you right now to stop, drop, and declare, I'm not going to sow any more seeds to the flesh, but I'm going to start sowing some seeds of spiritual righteousness. Can I declare what happens in our life? Is that what happens is you start sowing the seed that God has given you, and you start a new cycle of harvest in your life. And those same people that they used to talk about how bad you were, how many of those people are fickle? People will look at you, and you've been good all your life, and they've celebrated you. You do one thing wrong, and they'll throw you away. But those same individuals, if you keep on sowing, you keep your head down, you keep on plowing, you keep on living right, God starts blessing your life, and all of a sudden a new cycle of harvest starts flooding in on you. Those same people that was ready to throw you away will stop. They'll redefine you. They'll forget what you were. They'll forget what you did. Oh, I've come to tell somebody that it's not too late tonight to reverse the harvest that is in your life. You can stop and you can turn around now, and you can sow some seeds that you'll be happy to harvest later on. Whatever you sow according to this principle, you're going to reap. I know it sounds like I'm being very redundant, but I want you to understand this tonight before I leave, that whatever you sow into your children is coming back. Whatever you sow into your finances is coming back. Whatever you sow into your mentality, I mean, whatever you allow to just infiltrate your mind over and over and over all the time, is coming back. Some people wonder why they're depressed and they're lonely or going through despair. They can't figure out that if they would take some of these good seeds and start planting on some fertile ground in their mind, it would change their whole mindset. Whatever you sow into your life, can I tell you, it's coming back. That's why it's good to take discipline. Discipline is like a little bit of miracle grow. You spread it on everything that you are sowing, everything that you're doing in your life, in your mindset, in your family. Spread and sow some discipline. Why? Because discipline will come back and bless you somewhere in your life. Can I just say it this way? You'll never be somebody that is a concert pianist entertainer if you never rehearse. You've got to put in the time. You may have some gifts, some natural talent and ability. Thank God for those of you that are musically inclined. But if you're going to be a musical pianist, somebody that can concert play, you've got to put in the time. How many of us tonight would just go with something simpler and understand, if you're going to have a physique that you're proud of, you got to do something about it. You're not just going to wake up one day and look like Arnold. You got to put in the time. You got to do some working out. You got to watch what you put in your mouth. Man, it's not easy. Since I turned 35, my metabolism was went in reverse. Everything I put on, I mean, it just seems to go on easy. And boy, it's like filleting it to get it off. What are you saying? You've got to put in the time to see any of the results. You're not going to be a great preacher just because you have natural gifts or ability. There are individuals that will claim anointing. They will grease themselves down. Man, I mean, they're so greasy and smooth that KFC wants them to be their mascot. They're calling all the time. I mean, they are good. They can maneuver the crowd. But can I declare to you, you will never be an anointed man of God if you don't study His Word. If you don't let it become a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, you're not going to learn this through divine osmosis. It's not going to happen just because you rub shoulders with the right people. You got to get intentional with your study, with your mindset, or it is not going to happen. You're going to reap what you sow in your family, preachers, in your ministry. And then sometimes you got to step back and reevaluate what is flourishing and what is floundering, what is failing. God, if my family is growing and my ministry is suffering, God, help me to step back, reboot, and see what I need to do. If my ministry is growing but my family's falling apart, God, help me to do what I need to make sure that I'm sowing, that I'm living intentionally, that I'm not surprised at what's growing because I put it there. I'm walking on purpose. I'm praying on purpose. I'm attending faithfully because I know the consequences. God, give us a life that is intentional, not just in our attendance, but in our praise. I'm not just lifting my hands because I know it's the appropriate time. I want Him to see me. I want Him to hear me. I want Him to know my desperation. I want Him to see the cry of my heart. I'm here on purpose, and I'm planting seeds because I need something back. I need something back. I'm expecting tomatoes because that's what I planted. I'm not surprised when corn sprouts because that's what I was expecting. I was precise with when and how. But most of all, I'm not just doing it to see if it's possible. I'm doing it because I need what's coming back to me. Stay with me now. Here's what I believe more than anything. Is that the reason we're doing what we're doing is not just because we enjoy it. It's because we need something back for our labors. Now let's just be absolutely honest. If you never got anything out of church, how long would you keep on going? Now here's the part where I feel like some of us have got to the place that we almost feel like this is a tricky doctrine we got to be careful of. I understand that way back, just probably right before I was born, you had Oral Roberts and Shambach and some of these other guys that came through. And for a while, it was real big about sowing and reaping. Sowing in my ministry. Sow this, you know, and it was all about sowing into them. Here's what I've come to understand.
is just because some things get focused on and maybe overtaught and maybe not preached with the right motive doesn't mean the Word of God doesn't still stand as what it is. So here's what I've come to let us know is that it is not a selfish motive to do something with hopes of a return. Because if I read that scripture right, Brother Ken, what it's telling us is that my return, my yield is based off my investment. If I sow liberally, then that's how I'm going to reap. Now let's just be honest in this place tonight. There's a lot of us, if we would just come to church and be just absolutely open and blatant and honest, we don't come here just because we like to hear this good preaching, man. It's good, but we like the effects of that preaching. We don't just come because, you know, it's proper and it's right, but we have found that when we invest eternally, that even right now in the natural, in the present, God blesses our marriage, God blesses our efforts. Now I understand that every once in a while you give to individuals and there is no hope of ever getting anything back on your investment. It's good sometimes to find somebody that cannot do anything for you and you just give to them. But here is the revelation, is that there's nobody here tonight that can continually give and never replenish. We are all depletable. It doesn't matter how much money, how much tenacity, how much energy, how much anointing you have. If you have it, but you never replenish it, and you're constantly giving, you're going to run empty. Can I tell you, God understood that concept far beyond, far before any of us ever realized it. And that's why he set it up that when you give, you don't have to worry about running out. Because if you're giving a lot, it's coming back a lot. Man, I feel the anointing right now to tell somebody that you and I need to understand we don't have to eke this out like we're rationing out revival and we got to save a little bit for Sunday morning. If you and I start giving praise right now in such a way and glorifying God that as we empty ourselves, it has been made by God's design that he sees when your coffers begin to empty. He sees when you've been sweating, praying and crying with tears, asking God for a move. When you and I intentionally pray, God intentionally hears and intentionally answers. When we expect a healing, when we pray, he does it. When we ask God to save, he does it. God, give us the design, the motive and the desire, the understanding that it's all right to come to church with expectancy, that I'm not just wasting my time, but I'm about to receive in a press down, shaking together, running over kind of way. I came on Friday because I need something back. Hallelujah. It's not selfish to make an investment with hopes of a return. Every once in a while, when I went to work, I went there and I developed relationships with folks there. And I got to where I enjoyed a lot of those people. But if the only thing I was getting out of that job was the relationships, I'd quit. Let's just be honest. We're not going to work just because we love to turn wrenches or spray for weeds. Living the dream. Because we get to fix beans on Tuesdays and Thursdays for those kids in that school. We do it because there's something that we get in return. Every one of you in this room that has a job, you work for the paycheck. This sister here just got a job at a dentist's office. Is that right? Eye doctor, same thing. Not anywhere close, is it? She didn't go looking, searching for a job so she could just say, well, I'm employed. You go because you want a check. You want something back. Most farmers, now I know that there are some, I get down in Georgia, man, them guys, they love farming. I mean, they've grown up, they love riding them tractors and they love planting and they love harvest and it's all a wonderful thing. But they're not just there getting their hands dirty because they enjoy it. They're not there spreading manure on a field.
because, boy, this is great, and I love this odor. It's because they know that when they do it, they're going to get something back. Man, I wish some of us would understand that it's not always easy to do what's right. And sometimes doing what's right doesn't always feel good. And so when we come to church, we need to understand you may not be getting a monetary blessing, and maybe some of you are. But can I tell you, when we come to church, we're not looking for a blessing in the form of a check or some cash. But we understand that when I'm here, I'm not just going through the motions. I'm not just getting my knees dirty. I'm not just fixing the crease in my suit at the altar, but what I am doing is I'm making an investment that's going to pay off the rest of the week. When I pray in the morning, it shows through the rest of the day. Anybody that knows that's true, why don't you put one hand up and just acknowledge with this preacher, if I pray and I read before I do anything else, man, it pays off. It makes a difference in the rest of my day. What do you say? I got to hurry up. I'm telling you that there are times that I do things for people and I don't expect anything in return. I'm not looking for that bum on the street to ever come hunt me down and give my $4 back. I'm not looking for that, but every once in a while, can I tell you that I give somebody something because I know that I'm going to need something later. Is that okay? How many has ever found somebody that just looked like they needed a hug, so you gave them? But then there's been other times that I hugged somebody because I needed one. You're not hearing me. You ever just really, how many of you brothers ever just found yourself in a small little quarrel with your wife? I know Christians don't have anything but just intense fellowship sometimes. Have you ever got to the point where you said what you needed to say and you was ready for this to be over? And you figured that charm that worked 16 years ago still had the same kind of value, and you walked up and you hugged her. The only thing squeezing was you. You know good and well there ain't nothing worse than hugging and hoping for arms to reach out. Nothing coming back. My son is 7 now, and he's real becoming more manly all the time. I love it. I'm trying to make sure that when he's 16, he ain't got no confusion on what bathroom he belongs in. And so, but even as manly as I'm raising him, there's times that, man, he'll come out in the morning and he'll just hug me. Hey, Dad. Usually the first one that talks to me every morning, usually me and him. We'll sit down. He'll snuggle up next to me. And there's been times I've used him for this example. I won't forget it. I was at a youth camp earlier this summer. I said, whatever you do, son, just stand there. Don't do anything back. Just be still. And I started hugging him. And just out of response, couldn't help himself. Had to hug me back. That's the kind of people I like to hug. It's just natural response. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes it's all right to hug somebody with hopes of being hugged. Sometimes it's all right to love somebody because you know that you need some love. Every once in a while, it's all right to cover somebody else because you know that you need somebody to cover you. Man, I'm going to pray for you, but when I need prayer, I want you to pray for me too. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Every once in a while, it's all right to come to church and find somebody that you know that's going through something, and they maybe seemingly can't really do anything at the moment, but you get right down on their level and you let them know, hey, look, I'm not going to let you go through this by yourself. I'm going to cover you in prayer. I'm here for you if you need to talk. But can I declare to you, boy, it feels good when that same individual notices that you're walking through a valley, and now all of a sudden that feeling, those prayers begins to reciprocate. Oh, can I tell somebody that when we come to church, it's all right to hug, hoping you'll get a hug back. To pray, hoping somebody is going to cover you with prayer. Why? Because the Bible declares in Proverbs chapter 11, the liberal little soul shall be made fat. It just means prosperous. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The problem I find, I'm just about done preaching, is that many times we've got anxiety, maybe even about revival. Sometimes youth camps are this way. We get these kids here for just a couple of days. We try to make an investment and we send them back out into the world. Are we really making any difference? We get together and we have church Wednesday through Sunday, then through the next Wednesday. And sometimes you wonder, my dad's a pastor. My wife's dad's a pastor. I know how pastors think. Man, I wonder where so-and-so is. I wish the other so-and-so was here to be in revival. Where are they at? Man, I hope that we're making a difference. I've come to put your anxiety at ease and let you know this one good thing, that you will never find anywhere in the Bible that it's up to you or me to make the seed grow. All that you and I are commanded to do is to plant and to water. To plant and to water. Paul said, Apollos has watered. I planted, but God gave the increase. Can I declare to somebody tonight that it's still worth planting? It's still worth watering. There's still a God that gives it back in measures that we can't even fathom. I gave a little faith, but oh, what he gave me in return. I gave him my battered soul, but I get all of this and heaven too. I've got something back that went beyond my expectation. Thank God when I give to the Lord, he gives in return. You got to use proper tools. I'm closing. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. I know sometimes Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, we feel like, man, this feels like a waste. Sometimes it feels like it's effort with no return. So we throw seed out. Throw a little seed here, throw a little seed there. Somebody's up watering. We're looking for results. We're sowing seed around these altars. Some of you have no doubt throughout the last several years have anointed these altars with your tears and have shed hot, soulful tears, begging God for a change. But I've come to let you know that he that goeth forth sowing, weeping, bearing a seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We have done some sowing in tears. But there's coming a time, I believe it's going to happen before this revival is over. They're going to have to shelf those tears because it's time to reap. And we don't reap with tears. Hallelujah. There's not going to be no need for that. Tears are going to get wiped away because during the reaping, there's going to be some joy. Can I tell you, the greatest individuals that see the greatest results in harvest are those that remember what it's like to be planted themselves. See, sowing something in the ground is a whole lot like a burial. But there's a difference between a grave and a seed that's been sown. A grave you put down, you cover it up, and you don't come back expecting anything to change. But a seed, you'll come back the next day and sometimes take a look, because there's expectation that what you put down in the ground, it's already changing. And when it comes back up, it's going to be so different than what you put down. Some of us are so much different now than the way we were sown, in weakness, raised in power. I need something back. Is there anybody else here tonight that would just, with this preacher, be honest and say, I know it's Friday night, and I know tomorrow night we've got off, and we're going to have church Sunday through Wednesday next week,
But I don't want to just come to revival and sing songs and feel good and leave and there be no change in me. There's some things I used to pray for, but I quit. I just give up on sowing those seeds. I'm going to break that seed back out because I need something back. There's some of us that we've just gotten used to coming to church sick or unhealthy or not well or our family broken. I've come to tell you, you don't have to stay that way. You can sow with expectation. Something's coming back. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You stand with me all over this room. My wife's coming to the piano. God, I love you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. God, I pray tonight that you would touch and anoint every heart, every soul. God, we've been sowing bountifully because we need something back. God, we are sowing according to our desire. There are some needs that we have. God, we're asking, Lord, that you'd fill those coffers. Lord, seeds seem so small, sometimes so insignificant. But Lord, they come back with a harvest that changes everything about our lives. I pray that you'd move in this altar tonight. God, move in a spiritual way. God, move and make lives different. God, change hearts. Let our mindset be reversed. God, I pray that you touch every soul of every sower. God, you promised that you'd give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. God, would you do it tonight? Move in this place like only you can. God, I pray that you'd anoint these altars. God, let it be more than just an ordinary prayer time. God, I pray that you'd move in such a way, Lord, that it would be obvious that you're in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's power in your name. God, there's power in faith when we pray. Whatsoever we ask in prayer, believe it, we can receive it. God, we ask it tonight. Move around these altars in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church.